ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम। भद्रं कर्णे विश्रुणुयाम देवाः, भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः, स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः, स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः, स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः, स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ओम शांति शांति शांति। श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। इन द लास्ट वेबिनार वी कंक्लूडेड द थर्ड चैप्टर कॉल्ड अद्वैत प्रकरणम ऑफ मांडुक्य कारिका। सो बिफोर वी टेक अप द फोर्थ चैप्टर, फोर्थ एंड द फाइनल चैप्टर, लेट अस ट्राई टू समराइज द थर्ड चैप्टर। So as the title of the third chapter indicates, Gaudapadacharya is focusing on Advaita Atma or Advaita Turiya in the third chapter. And this entire chapter is based on the seventh mantra of Mandukya Upanishad, in which Turiyam is described in several words. If you remember that shloka, Nanta Pragyam, Na Bhagish Pragyam, No Bhayata Pragyam, न प्रज्ञानघनम, न प्रज्ञम, ना प्रज्ञम, अदृष्टम, अव्यवहार्यम, अग्राह्यम, अलक्षणम, अचिंत्यम, अव्यपदेश्यम, एकात्म प्रत्ययशारम, प्रपंचोपशमम, शांतम, शिवम, अद्वैतम, चतुर्थम मन्यन्ते, स आत्मा, स विज्ञेयः। सो एट द एंड ऑफ द श्लोका, शांतम, शिवम, अद्वैतम, चतुर्थम मन्यन्ते, स आत्मा, स विज्ञेयः is said there. So the significance of the word अद्वैतम is brought out in this chapter. So as we saw in the introduction of the chapter, the word अद्वैतम is used in a very sastraic manner, and it means which cannot become many. अद्वैतम, that it cannot become द्वैतम, which cannot produce dvaitam. So neither can it divide and become two, nor can it multiply and become two. The multiplication can happen either by production or division. So advaitam can never become dvaitam either by multiplication or division. Therefore, dvaita world can never be born from advaita brahman or turiyam. Therefore, the world is never created at any time. The entire chapter focuses on the negation of creation, Srishti. Another word for Srishti is Jati. So, negation of Jati is the subject of this chapter, and thus the chapter is called Ajati Vadaha. We introduced this term during the discussion of this chapter. So Brahman has created nothing, and nothing is born out of Brahman. Brahman alone was, Brahman alone is, and Brahman alone will ever be. This is the tough message of the third chapter. So if at all we experience a world, Gaudapadacharya says that experience is not because world is born out of Brahman, nor a world is existing, but only because it is appearing for us. So the entire world is an experience exactly like a dream, which is an appearance. The dream is not really created by the mind, nor does it really exist, but appears because of Nidra Shakti. Similarly, the world has not really originated from Brahman, and it does not really exist. The world is an appearance because of Maya Shakti as opposed to Nidra Shakti for dream. So in the case of the dream, the appearance is due to Nidra Shakti, and at the cosmic level, the word Maya is used. So this is the message Gaudapadacharya is communicating. With this background, let us see the development of the third chapter. So the first topic is introduction to Advaitam, the subject matter of the chapter, which is covered in the first two shlokas. So in the first two shlokas, Gaudapadacharya gives an introduction to Advaitam. He says that no spiritual seeker can start with Advaitam. Spirituality should start with Dvaitam only. It is a stepping stone. Dvaita Bhakti is very much required. But Dvaita Bhakti should culminate in Advaita Jnanam. Both are important. Dvaita Bhakti is the means and Advaita Jnanam is the end. Without Dvaita Bhakti, Advaita Jnanam is impossible. And without Advaita Jnanam, Dvaita Bhakti remains incomplete. So one has to go through Dvaita Bhakti and come to Advaita Jnanam. One can postpone Advaita Jnanam perhaps, but one cannot avoid it if one wants moksha. So to convey this message, Gaudapada Acharya says that those who permanently remain in Dvaita Bhakti are very unfortunate people. And those who use Dvaita Bhakti as a temporary stepping stone are evolved people. So Dvaita Bhakti is practiced in two levels. The first level is called Karma and the second level is called Upasana. We are familiar with all this. In Karma, the Bhagavan is worshipped and I am the worshipper. So the worshipped and worshipper duality is present in Karma. In Upasana, Bhagavan is the one meditated upon and I am the meditator. The meditated and the meditator duality is present in Upasana. This is appropriate initially, but one has to come to Advaitam ultimately. Otherwise, one is a Kripanaha. This is the introduction in verses Sloka 1 and 2. And the second topic is the logical negation of the origination of the jiva and the world. This is discussed in Shlokas 3 to 10 of the Karika. So in verses 3 to 10, Gaudapada Acharya says that neither the jiva nor jagat is born out of Brahman. He establishes this with the help of two examples, namely the space example and the dream example. How many spaces are there? Space is only one. Space can always be only one. Space cannot multiply into many. Space cannot also divide into many. Therefore, space remains Advaitam. Even though space remains Advaitam, when many containers are made like pot, room and all that, even though space is indivisible, in many containers, space seems to be divided. Small part space, big part space, and big room space, small room space, all those. So space is seemingly divided without being actually divided. Not only that, we talk about the birth of part space when part is born and death of part space when the part is destroyed. We talk about movement of part space when the part moves. They are all only apparent and seeming plurality, birth, death and movement of part space. Actually, space remains the same, divisionless, changeless and motionless. If space is understood, Atma, the consciousness also is very similar to space. Consciousness can never be divided. Even though the consciousness also is very similar to space, it is indivisible. When there are many physical bodies, each body is like an enclosure. And in each body, there is an enclosed consciousness. Thus, it appears that there are many enclosed consciousness and the consciousness is divided. We name each enclosed consciousness as what? As Jivatma. The enclosed consciousness is called Jivatma and the all-pervading consciousness is called Paramatma. It appears as though there are many Jivatmas born out of Paramatma. But Gaudapada Acharya says that just like part space, Jivatmas are not at all born and that Jivatmas are not many and there is only one undivided consciousness, Ekatma. So Paramatma and Jivatma are two different words like total space and part space. But space is only one. Therefore, Jivatma and Paramatma are not at all different. And one is not born out of the other like part space. Part space is seemingly born, but not really born. Similarly, Jivatma is seemingly bond, but really not bond at all. This is the example of space. And the second example is what? It is a dream example. In dream, we experience a dream world that is born. Out of our own mind, a dream world is created. But on inquiry, the dream world is seemingly created and appears to be really existent when you are in dream. For a dreamer, the dream is not a dream. In dream, dream is seemingly created and real. But on waking up, a real dream world is known to be not created, because the waker continues to be the same person lying down in the bed. Similarly, Brahman also does not create or cannot create a world out of itself. But this world is seemingly created and appears real because of Maya Shakti. Therefore, like dream, this world is really not born. Thus, space example is used to negate the creation of jivas, and the dream example is used to negate creation of the world. Now, the third topic is the scriptural negation of the origination of the jiva and the world, covered in shlokas 11 to 30. So, from shlokas 11 to 30, Gaudapada Acharya, he analyzes the Upanishadic statements because we find a problem while interpreting the Upanishad. All this is gathered from the Upanishad only. Gaudapada Acharya is not giving his own teaching here. The entire Mandukya Karika is based on the Mandukya Upanishad only. In interpreting the Upanishad, we do face a problem which Gaudapada Acharya introduces, and he himself solves the problem also. And Gaudapada Acharya anticipates the problem which he introduces and gives the solution also. So what is the problem? Gaudapada Acharya said that the jiva is never created and the world is never created also. But the Upanishads elaborately talk about creation in various Upanishads. We already saw Mundaka Upanishad chapter 2, the first section. Etasma jayate pranaha manasarvendriyani cha kham vayur jyotirapaha prithivi vishvasya dharini. So from the Brahman, what are all the things that are born? Prana, the mind, all senses and organs of action, space, air, fire, water, the earth that sustains the entire life, they are all born. And again in Taittiriya Upanishad, in the second chapter, Brahmananda Valli, tasmadva etasmad atmana akashas sambhutam akashadvayuhu vayoragnihi agnirapaha adhya prithivi prithivya oshadhayaha oshadibhyonnam annat purushaha. So from that Brahman, which is indeed this atma, space is born, akashas sambhutaha. From space, air is born. From air, fire is born. From fire, water is born. From water, earth is born. From earth, the plants, they are all born. And from plants, food is born. From food, human being is born. This is Taittiriya Upanishad. So all the Upanishads, they are talking about the creation of both the jiva and the world. So when the Upanishads are talking about creation, how come Gaudapada Acharya is negating the creation? And Gaudapada Acharya says that no doubt the Upanishads talk about creation, but they do not say whether the creation is really born or seemingly born. That is the difference. Whether it is really born or seemingly born, the Upanishads don't say. They only say that the world and jivas came out of Paramatma or Brahman. They do not say whether they are really born or seemingly born. Therefore, we have to analyze and find out whether they are really born or seemingly born. How does one know which one of the above is the Upanishads mean? Gaudapada Acharya says that we have to study the Upanishads completely and then only come to a conclusion. When the Upanishads are studied thoroughly, it is seen that at the end of the teaching, the Upanishads say that really speaking, the creation is not at all there. Initially, the Upanishads talk about the arrival of the creation. But later it is said, the plurality is seen. What is seen is really not there. For example, in Kathopanishad, we already saw in the second chapter, Manasa evedam aptavyam nehananasti kinchana. And what about the five elements? In the Kaivalya Upanishad, in Sloka 22, it says, Na bhumira po na chavanni rasti, na chani lo mesti na chambarancha. Earth and water do not belong to me. Na bhumihi na apaha. Fire does not belong to me. Air does not belong to me. Space does not belong to me. So the Upanishads say that all these things are really not there. Therefore, the creation is seemingly born exactly like the dream world. The dream world is seemingly there when I am in dream. But on inquiry, it appears that it is called conditional reality and it is called mithya. Conditional reality or seeming reality is mithya. The dream world is seemingly real under only one condition, namely the dream state. Since the dream world is seemingly real in dream, it has ETU. If you remember the ETU, in dream, I can experience it. I can transact it. I can use it for my experience also. So it has got experience E, transaction T, and utility. So it has that reality in dream. But on waking up, the whole thing is non-existent. Now the Upanishad says that this world also is exactly like dream and has conditional reality. What is the condition? What is the condition for the world to be real? What is the condition for, for example, this class that we are doing, the webinar, for it to be real? As long as you keep awake. The moment you doze off, the whole surroundings are gone out of perception. Where is the question of reality of this world then? Therefore, the waking world is real in the waking state. The dream world is real in the dream state. Waking world is unreal in dream state and dream world is unreal in waking state. Therefore, none of them is absolutely real. But they are experienced. They are used for transaction and they have utility. So, use them. But remember, they are all mithya. Both the waking world and dreaming world borrow their existence from what? From Atma, the Chaitanyam, the Turiyam. Both of them borrow existence from Atma. And where is the Atma? Is it inside or outside? It is neither inside nor outside of me. Atma is myself. I lend existence to dream by entering into the dream state. I lend existence to the waking world by entering the waking state. I withdraw existence from both by entering the deep sleep state. Therefore, I am the absolute reality, the Turiyam. Both waking and dream are mithya. I am Satyam and the world is mithya. That is the message. Then one more point is, the Srishti negates, the Shruti actually, the Upanishad negates Srishti by saying that it is only an appearance. And in all the Upanishads, the Mahavakyams, you know, it is clearly said that what? Jivatma is not born out of Paramatma, but Jivatma is Paramatma, Tattvamasi, Chandogyam. All the Mahavakyas say that Jivatma is identical with Paramatma. When is Paramatma born? Paramatma is unborn. Being identical to Paramatma, Jivatma also should be unborn. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said in the second chapter, Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha adhyo nitya shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. This Atma is neither born at any time, nor does it die. It will neither come to existence, nor will it disappear again. It is unborn, it is eternal, It undergoes no change whatsoever and it is ever new. It is not affected when the body is affected. Never think, I am born, I am growing old, I am going to die, I will take the next birth and I should be free from rebirth. Never say any such thing at all. There is no first birth. Then where is the question of the next birth? Don't worry about all these. You need not attain liberation. Why? Because you are already liberated. So Gaudapadacharya says that you are Turiyam. You are free. And bondage is a misconception. Trying to remove a non-existent bondage, you will miserably fail. Remember the example? The children, for example, they pray. Swamiji gives this example. Children play by pressing the coin on one's forehead and remove the coin. So you feel that the coin is still on the forehead. They will keep the coin pressed for some time. So you feel as if the coin is still there even after they remove. Then they ask you to hit your forehead and say that the coin will fall. If the coin falls, it is yours. You keep hitting the head and the coin will never fall. You hit harder and any amount of hitting will not make the coin fall because it is not there. When a mirror is shown, we get enlightenment that coin is not there. You realize that you have been struggling to remove something that is not there. Vedanta is the mirror that shows the Jivatma that he is struggling to remove bondage which is not there at all. And what is the tragedy? The more one tries, the greater will be the failure. So Gaudapadacharya negates the creation of Jiva and world with the help of the Shruti Pramanam in Shlokas 15 to 30. And the fourth topic is cessation of the mind. That is discussed in Shlokas 31 to 39. So from Shlokas 31 to 39, the important topic of Atmani Bhavaha, that is described. So Amani Bhavaha. What is this? A Vedantic student will study Vedanta very well. If he is reasonably intelligent, he will understand that the world is mithya. So remember the four assertions that we made. First one is the origination of the world is to be negated. The second one is the existence of the world has to be negated. Third one is the appearance of the world is to be accepted. And fourth one is the appearance of the world is due to Maya Shakti. So the student will thoroughly assert the above. But the problem is what? When you use the word world, that world should include your body, mind. Also, so mind is what? Mind should also be made a part of the world because mind is an object of experience. The mind is experienced, made up of the five elements, has attributes, subject to modification and subject to arrival and departure. So the mind disappears in deep sleep and appears again in the waking up. So the mind is also part of the world and therefore should be understood as mithya. So if the mind is not negated as mithya, and if I continue to identify with the mind as mind, then I will always feel I am a samsari. If I am going to judge myself from the conditions of the mind, then I will always feel that I am not progressing because I am mistaking myself as the mind, but the mind is part of the world. It will always be fluctuating and it will have ups and downs. I can reduce that to some extent by a sadhana. But remember, mind is always subject to fluctuation. Sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. Mind is not myself, but part of the mithya world only. If it is not understood, after Vedantic study also, I look upon myself as the mind. So when the mind goes through ups and downs, I will not say that mind is going through ups and downs, but I will say, I am going through ups and downs. The mind, which is also mithya, which is not originated and not existent, but appears along with the world, that apparent mind has got the prarabdha. I am never the mind, neither the mind nor the owner of the mind. The mind is a temporary instrument useful for worldly transactions. Therefore, I'll try to keep it as fit as possible for smooth transaction, but I will never identify myself with the mind, nor will I claim ownership of the mind also, because Atma is Asangaha, which is not the owner of anything. The toughest part of Vedanta is detaching from our own mind. Detachment from all the five anatmas. What are they? Possession, procession, profession, relationship, body and mind. So mind is necessary. So Gaudapadacharya says that you have to detach from your mind, reduce mind also to a mithya state. This is called amani bhavaha. The mind is nothing but Brahman with nama and rupa. So how do we detach from the mind? Only by one means, namely knowledge. By knowing the truth behind the mind, we negate the mind. When I hold the pot in my hand, I can negate the pot by knowledge. What knowledge? By knowing that pot is nothing but nama rupa. It is useful, but there is no substance called pot. There is only one substance called clay. Similarly, the mind is useful, but there is no substance called mind. The substance is Brahman, the only substance. This is a very, very important topic, Amani Bhavaha. So, shlokas 31 to 39, that describes this Amani Bhavaha subject. Then the fifth topic is Nididhyasanam, that is discussed in shlokas 40 to 47. So, the last topic is from shlokas 40 to 47. This is called Mano Nigraha or Nididhyasana. So, this is thought management. If we do not know how to handle involuntary thoughts, they will hijack the mind. A mind hijacked by mental chattering is not available for claiming the knowledge, nor abiding in the knowledge. So, Mano Nigraha is learning to retrieve the mind from involuntary thoughts whenever I want. Let the involuntary thoughts happen when I want, but not at other times. If the mind is not available because of thoughts centered on Pancha Anatmas, knowledge will not be available. For Mano Nigraha, Nididhyasanam is prescribed. And again, there are two types of Nididhyasanam. One is called Brahma Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam, in which I keep the knowledge in the background during transactions. This awareness that I am free must be there in and through all worldly transactions. We use the word Sthayi Bhavaha in concerts and all, like the Tambura Shruti. This is difficult because during transaction, one is lost in the transaction. And the second thing is the other Nididhyasanam that becomes very important either in early morning or night or both. One is auto-suggestion meditation, and the other is introspection meditation, in which I dwell on this teaching, I am Satyam and world is Mithya. This is called the binary format. We used this term earlier. I am Satyam, world is Mithya. As far as the Mithya world is concerned, I can only be a contributor. I cannot be the controller. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said in the second chapter again, Karmani eva adhikaraha te ma paleshu kadachana ma karma palahe durbohu ma te sangostva karmani. You have a choice over action alone, never on the results. Ma paleshu. May you not think you are author of the results of actions. May you not have the inclination towards inaction, akarmani also. I do not have control over my mind, body, family, profession and possessions. I will contribute and accept the mithya world, mithya body and all that thing. The greatest blessing is what? I am never affected by anything that happens in the mithya world. the mithya body or the mithya mind. In any of them, whatever happens, I am not affected. Whatever happens, I am not affected. This is called mano nigraha abhyasa nididhyasana. So Gaudapada Acharya, he talked about then four obstacles here. One is called the laya. Laya means dosing off during meditation. I want to meditate, but I doze off. Second is called vikshepa, the wandering mind. Mind is not stay put, it is wandering. And third one is called kashayam, subconscious problems which make the mind stagnant, neither sleeping nor wandering nor meditating, but stagnant. And the fourth one is rasasvadaha, getting attached to the temporary calmness of meditation. So these are the four obstacles. And once these obstacles are crossed, one should abide in the teaching. So this is the Nididhyasanam topic, which is covered from shlokas 40 to 47. And the final topic, the central message of the chapter is Ajati Vadaha, exposition of non-origination. Shloka 48, last shloka of the chapter. Then in the final 48th shloka, Gaudapada Acharya reminds the central message that nothing has been created out of Brahman or originated out of Brahman. So many things appear, but nothing had originated. That Brahman I am. No jiva is born. So this jiva has no cause. This Brahman is the absolute truth in which nothing is born. This is the Ajadivata Advaita Prakaranam. It is a tough chapter, but if it is assimilated, it is very, very beautiful and useful. Now let us enter into the last chapter of Mandukya Karika, namely Alata Shanta Prakarana. So with the third chapter of Mandukya Karika, titled Advaita Prakaranam, Gaudapada Acharya has comprehensively covered the teaching contained in the Mandukya Upanishad in the 12 shlokas. So he also dealt with the main teaching, Vedantic teaching, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahmaiva Napara. Of this, the chapter 2 established the Jagan Mithyatvam, Vaitatya Prakaranam. And the third chapter established Brahma Satyatvam, that is the Advaita Prakaranam. And that Brahman I am has been revealed in the Mandukya Upanishad itself. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam, Chaturtam Manyante, Sa Atma, Sa Vijnayaha. So actually, the teaching part is over now. There is no real scope for the fourth chapter of the Karika at all. But in this chapter, Gaudapada Acharya consolidates all aspects of Vedantic teachings and winds it up. So we do not get anything new in the fourth chapter. But it is reinforcement of the teaching given in the first three chapters. So since he is bringing in all the different aspects, this is the biggest chapter with 100 shlokas. So, if you look at the content of the chapter, we can broadly divide it into three parts. The first part is the elaboration of the Ajatiwada given in the last shloka of the third chapter, which alone we present in the following four points. What are the four points? Number one, existence of the world is negated. Number two, origination of the world has to be negated. Number four, appearance and experience of the world have to be accepted. And four, the appearance is because of the power of Maya. So these four put together is called Ajatiwadaha. And in these four, the second one is the most important, which is origination of the world is negated. Ajati means non-origination, non-creation. So in the second part, the mithyatvam of the world is discussed. Even though the world does not originate, it appears in front of us like dream. It appears very real, and therefore we accept the appearance and experience the world also. The appearance and the experience of the world without origination is called mithya. Like rope snake, it rope snake appears for me without actually originating from the rope. Whenever something appears without origination, it is called mithya. For example, the blue sky. And in the second chapter, Gauda Bhattacharya emphasizes the appearance and experience of the world as mithya with an example unique to Mandukya Karika, which is Alatham. This example will be elaborated later. So this example is so popular that the fourth chapter itself is called Alatha Shanti Prakarana. So the third chapter is the summary of the entire Vedanta, in which Atma Swarupam, Atma Swarupa Jnanam, Atma Swarupa Jnana Sadhanam and Atma Swarupa Jnana Palam, they are all discussed. So these are all the main three sections of the fourth chapter. So with this background, now we will enter the chapter. Shloka 1, let us read. Jnanena Akashakalpenaha Dharman Yoga Ganopamane Nyeyabhinnena Sambuddhaha Tamvande Dvipadambaram. Jnanena Akashakalpena, by a knowledge comparable to infinite space, Akasha, Dharman, Dharman means the souls, which are Gagana Upaman, comparable to the sky, all the souls, Nyeya Abhinna Jnanena, through the knowledge that it is not different from the objects of knowledge, Nyeya Abhinna Jnanena, namely all the souls, Sambuddhaha, one who has fully realized this, he indeed is Lord Narayana himself. Tam Vande, I salute that person. He is Dvipadam Varam. He is the greatest among the two-legged species, Purushottamaha. So I bow down to that Lord Purushottama who knows the space-like jivas with his space-like consciousness, which is not different from the object. So space-like jivas means all like the part space, and the space-like consciousness is the total space. So first two verses are Mangala Slokas, in which Gauda Bhattacharya offers prostration to the Adi Guru, Narayana, because we look upon Narayana as the first Guru. The tradition flows from there, which continues up to now. There is this well-known Shloka, Guru Parampara Shloka, Narayanam Padmabhuvam Vasishtam Shaktincha Tatputra Parasharancha Vyasam, Shukham, Gaudapadam, Mahantam, Govinda Yogindram, Atasya Sishyam, Shri Shankaracharyam, Atasya Padma Bhatancham, Hastamalakancha Sishyam, Tam Totakam, Vartikakaram, Anyan, Asmad Gurun Santatam, Anatosmi. So the Guru Parampara is what? Narayana is Vishnu, Padmabhuvam is Brahma, Vasishta is the Manasa Putra of Brahma, Shakti is Vasishta's son. Parashara is son of Vasishta. And Vyasa is son of Parashara. Shuka is son of Vyasa. And Gauda Padacharya, Govinda Bhagavad Padacharya, Adi Shankaracharya, his four well-known disciples, Sureshwaracharya, Padmapadacharya, Padmapadacharya, Hastamalaka, and Todakacharya. So the entire teacher lineage is bowed down to with in this verse. So here Gauda Padacharya offers his prostrations to the Adi Guru Narayana in Shloka 1. And the second Shloka is also a Mangala Shloka. Offering prostration to the very teaching itself. Earlier to the Guru Parampara and to Narayana, now the teaching itself, the Brahma Vidya itself as Mother Saraswati. So in this fourth chapter, there are several shlokas where the words and the construction of the shlokas are a little bit difficult, and it is difficult to give the word by word explanation for each one of them. So the shlokas connection with the other shlokas, all of them. So because it is involved and difficult, if the individual word is concentrated upon, the whole concept might likely to get missed. Therefore, the teaching here, we will be concentrating centered mostly upon, without going into the every single word whenever difficult verses are encountered. So with the reality, in relatively easy shlokas, word by word analysis will be done. So the first verse itself is kind of difficult. So the essence now, let us look at it with some interpretation of the words. So who is Narayana? Narayana is called the greatest among the two-legged species. The two-legged one here means the human beings. So vara means uttamaha. So purushanam uttamaha purushottamaha Narayana. So this Narayana is the Adi Guru of the teaching of the Jivatma Paramatma identity. So since Narayana gives this knowledge, he also is endowed with this knowledge of identity. How will Narayana express his knowledge? We will say, we Jivatmas are identical with Paramatma. That's what we will say when we get knowledge. But Narayana, what he will say? He, the Paramatma, is identical with Jivatmas. So to that Narayana, who has the knowledge of this identity, I prostrate upon, I bow down. So this is the first message of this shloka. And the second message is what? This knowledge of the identity of the Jivatma and Paramatma is unique and different from all the conventional knowledge. In all conventional knowledge, what happens? There is this knower, the subject, and the known, the object, and the instrument of knowledge, like eyes, ears, and all that. So, subject, object, instrument triad is present in all conventional knowledge, the triputi. Or the subject, object, duality is present. In all conventional knowledge, knower and known are different. But in this knowledge of identity, there is no difference from Jivatma, the knower, and Paramatma, the known. This division of knower and the known is not there for Narayana also. Since there is no division between Jivatma and Paramatma, and there is only one Ekatma, it is like space. Space does not have real division, but seeming division. We already explained that, pot space, room space, and all that. Both Paramatma and Jivatma are divisionless, but with a seeming division. To that Paramatma, Narayana, who is endowed with the knowledge of identity, with only seeming division, prostrations are offered to him. So this is the essence of the first shloka. So the word dharman, that occurring in the word, that refers to Jivatmas. These are all we have to be careful in understanding. So the words used in these words are rare, abstruse also, abstruse, and the sentence also, it has grammatical challenges of construction and all that. So many verses are undecipherable in that sense. But Shankaracharya's commentary helps us. Shloka 2. Asparsha yogo vai nama sarva sattva sukhohitah avivado viruddhascha deshitastam namamyaham. So asparsha yoga vai nama. Asparsha yoga is indeed sarva sattva sukohitaha. We will explain what is asparsha yoga and all. So sarva sattva sukohitaha, it is enjoyable, sukohitaha, to all beings, sarva sattaha, beneficial to all of them, this asparsha yoga. It is avivadaha, it is disputeless. Aviruddhascha, it is non-contradictory also, no viruddham. Deshitaha, it is revealed in the scriptures. Tam namamiham, I bow down to that yoga. So this Brahma Vidya teaching is known by the name Asparsha Yoga. That is Brahma Vidya, which is the word which was introduced in the third chapter itself in Shloka 39. And Gauda Padacharya introduced it at that time. So Asparsha means Turiya Atma. Why it is called Asparsha? It means Asparsha means Asangaha, no contact, no connection. Atma being Satyam and Anatma being Mithya. Satyam and Mithya cannot come in contact like marriage. Like for example, if you take the example of mirage water, can the mirage water, can it wet the ground? It can never wet the ground. Even though water is experienced on the ground, mirage water cannot wet the ground. Because one is unreal, the other is real. Unreal cannot contaminate the real. Movie cannot contaminate the screen. Dream rain cannot make my bed wet. Atma being satyam, it is asangaha. Asparsha yoga means asanga atma jnanam. Yoga means jnanam. So even though this atma jnanam appears difficult initially, it is worth the trouble because that is the liberating knowledge. Therefore, the Acharya says that Asparsha Yoga is pleasant, is enjoyable and beneficial for all types of human beings, irrespective of gender, creed, religion, nationality and all that. Another glory of this knowledge is what? It is never subject to debate, because there is no quarrel for Advaita with all other systems. Why? All the other systems are talking about the reality obtaining in the waking state. They are all analyzing conditional reality obtaining in the relative world within duality. So Vedanta is not analyzing the relative truth, but Vedanta talks about the absolute truth. As far as relative truth is concerned, they give different opinions and versions. Vedanta does not contradict them all, any of them, because their opinions are from different viewpoints. Every system like Sankhya, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, they are empirically correct for the transactional plane, like different medical systems, for example. In the transactional plane, truth is relative. A wall can be viewed as a wall, or bricks arranged vertically, or a stack of mud, or molecules, or atoms put together. These are all correct with respect to their standpoints. In empirical plane, truth is relative. Vedanta is not interested in joining this debate because all are right from their own standpoints, but all are wrong from other standpoints. Vedanta is not interested in the debate about this relative truth, because relative truth cannot give liberation. Dream world is relatively true in the dream state, but the dream knowledge cannot give me liberation. Therefore, analysis of relative truth will not be useful for a spiritual seeker. For living purposes, knowledge in the relative plane is useful. When a spiritual seeker is interested in the ultimate and fundamental truth, the relative truth is useless. So Gaudapada Acharya says that Vedanta is dealing with the absolute truth and others are dealing with the relative truth. Advaitam is indisputable because it does not contradict with the other systems of philosophy, because it does not contradict any system. This wonderful, absolute and indisputable Advaitam has been given to us by Lord Narayana. So Gaudapada Acharya offers prostration to this, to the knowledge of the absolute reality. So in Advaitam, there are no different standpoints at all, whereas Dvaitam has different standpoints. Shloka 3. Bhutasya dhajati michanti vadina kechi devahi abhutasya pare dhiraha vivadanta parasparam. Hi kinchit yeva vadinaha. Only some disputants, namely the Sankhyas here, ichandi, they postulate. What do they do? Jatim bhutasya, the birth of the existent. That's what they are arguing. Some disputants. Apare, other thinkers, what do they say? Like, who are the other thinkers? Like the Nayayikas, the Vaiseshikas. They are called the Dhiraha here, who are wise people. So, Vivadinaha, they postulate the birth of Abhutasya, the non-existent. So, from here, Gaudapada Acharya starts the Ajati Vada. That teaching, explaining, showing the origination and that can never be explained by any philosopher because there is no origination. Origination of this world or jiva cannot be explained by any system, including modern cosmology, because it is really has not originated. What is the birth date of the rope snake and how is it born? They are not relevant because there is no birth rope snake at all. Therefore, no theory of origination will stand scrutiny or inquiry. This is the topic in the following shlokas. So, as long as you think there is origination, there will be different theories of origination. Each theory will keep refuting the other one also. Gaudapadacharya will show how the different theories of origination will not work. Among those theories, two are very well known theories. One is called Satkaryavadaha and the other is called Asatkaryavadaha. So these two theories are at odds with each other. Take any example of creation. Out of clay, a pot is created. Pot has originated from clay. So this is our experience. Did the pot exist or not before its creation? If you ask that question, one theory says that a non-existent pot originates. And the other theory says that the non-existent pot can never originate, but only an existent pot can originate. The first theory asks if the existent pot originates. Why should it originate at all? Because it is already existent. Therefore, non-existent pot alone originates. That is what the first theory says. So, in the clay, the pot is non-existent and therefore the pot originates from clay. So, the first one asks, in the clay, the pot is non-existent and the non-existent pot originates from the clay. Suppose there is a cup of water, let us say. Pot is non-existent in water. You say that in the clay also, pot is non-existent. Then why does the non-existent pot originate only from clay and not from water? Similarly, the non-existent oil does not originate from sand. Oil comes only from the oil seed in which the oil is already existent. Therefore, existent oil can originate only from the seed. Therefore, he says that for a seed, if a tree comes, the tree is already existent in the seed. So this group, they say that only existent products alone originate. The other says that only non-existent products alone can originate. So these two quarrels, they are without any end. So some philosophers, the Satkaryavadis, the Sankhya system, for example, they claim the origination of already existing things, that is, the effect is present in the cause. We already saw about cause-effect relationships in all our discussions in the other Upanishads. The effect is already present in the cause. And others called Asatkaryavadis, the Nayayikas and the Vaisheshikas, what they say, they claim that an existing thing need not originate, but only a non-existent thing has to originate. So these so-called scholars, they argue and dispute with each other. One negates origination of the non-existent thing and the other one negates the origination of the existent thing. So Ajadivata will say that neither the existent nor the non-existing existent thing originates because nothing actually originates. This is Gaudapadacharya Saptarash. Shloka 4. Bhutam na jayate kinchit, abhutam naiva jayate, vivadanto dvaya hyevam ajatim kya payantite. So, bhutam na jayate kinchit. The existent is not born. Na jayate kinchit. Abhutam naiva jayate, the non-existent also is not at all born. Vivaha, so vivava vantaha. So the people who are the Vivadavantaha means the people who are the disputing. Thus, such people, Advayaha, those non-dualists, they reveal Ajatim Kyapayanti, birthlessness indeed. Actually, both of them talk about birthlessness only. So each theory is negating the other. Nyaya Vaisheshika says that the existent is not born. Sankhya says that a non-existent thing cannot be created. So both these dualistic darshanas, they teach Atma is many but also all-pervading. They all teach all that. So debating in this manner, they negate each other, giving credence to Ajatiwada. Again, Shloka 5.
Kyapyamanam ajatin taihi anumodamahevayam vivadamonatai sardham avivadam nibodata.
So anumodam ahe vayam ajatim. We approve anumodam ahe. We approve the birthlessness ajatim. Kyapyamanam taihi, revealed by all those people. Na vivadinaha taihi sardham. We do not argue with them. Na vivadinaha. Therefore, nibodata, understand this. To be avivadam, to be disputeless. So Gaudapadacharya says that he appreciates the indirect promotion of the Ajadivata by dualists. For the Ajadivata, there is no argument with any other darshanas at all. Each of those darshanas has its own special theory of creation, and they debate and negate each other. Vedanta is beyond all the debates. The word avivadam, beyond debates, occurs in Shloka 2. Verses 3, 4 and 5 are commentary on that word.
Shloka 6 to 8. Ajatasyai ajatasyaiva dharmasya jati michyanti vadinaha ajato hyamrito dharmaha martyatam katameshyati.
So vadinaha ajatasyaiva, so dharmasya jatim ichanti, the disputants, vadinaha, they postulate the birth of the unborn reality itself. Ajatasyaiva dharmasya jatim ichanti. So ajataha katam, how can the unborn, ajataha katam, amrito dharmahahi, immortal reality indeed, how it can be, how the unborn can have this immortal reality. So, martyatam yeshyati, it can be subject to mortality, how it can be. So, how can a positive entity that is unborn and immortal undergo mortality? That's the question. Again, reiterating the earlier points. Shloka 7.
Na bhavatyamritam martyam, na martyam amritam tatha, prakriti eranyata bhavaha, na katanchit bhavishyati.
Martyam na bhavati amritam. The immortal does not become mortal. Amritam na bhavati. Tata amritam na martyam. In the same way, tata mortal does not become immortal. Prakritehe anyata bhavaha. Transformation of the intrinsic nature. Prakritehe anyata bhavaha. Na katanchit bhavishyati, will not take place anyhow, anyway.
Svabhave na amrito yasya dharmo gacchanti martyatam kritake na amritas tasya katam stasyati nischalaha.
Svabhave na amritaha yasya dharmaha. Suppose, for example, the intrinsically immortal reality, svabhave na amritaha, gacchati martyatam, that is subject to mortality for a person, let us say. Kritakena amritaha tasya katam. How can that immortality stasyati nischalaha remain the same for him, since it is a product? So Gaudapadacharya said that all the other darshanas reveal the fallacy of each other. There is no need to know the fallacies of those systems at all. However, Gaudapadacharya, he presents the fallacy, some of the other systems, for academic sake.
The first one is the Vedic theory of creation that is accepted by some Vaidikas. According to this theory, Bhagavan is the Jagat Karanam and that Bhagavan has created the world. Gaudapada Acharya says that this should not be accepted. Even though the Veda itself talks about Bhagavan creating the world, it should be understood as only a temporary teaching. This is a provisional teaching to enable people to refine their minds. So having accepted the creation temporarily, this is called the Adhyaropa Prakaranam, Veda itself make it clear that from Brahman or Bhagavan, world can never originate. Vedas say that not only does the world not originate, but that does not exist also. All these were discussed in the third chapter. So Bhagavan has never created the world. There is no such thing called world. So everything that is experienced is not the world but Brahman. Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagat. The world has never come out of Brahman. Veda itself negates the creation of the world by Brahman. Logically also, Brahman cannot create the world. Gaudapada Acharya has, lifted shlokas 20, 21 and 22 of the third chapter and formed the 6th and 7th and the 8th verses of the 4th chapter respectively. So the essence of the verses 6, 7 and 8 is what? As follows. Bhagavan, Paramatma or Brahman is clearly described in all the Upanishads as limitless or infinite and not subject to any change. I'll take a couple of minutes and finish this particular shloka. And eternal and infinite means not subject to change. Anything that is subject to change will undergo sixfold modifications. Tattva Bodha. Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Vinashyati. All those we have seen. So if Brahman is Nityam and Nirvikaram, it cannot undergo a change. So Brahman cannot become a Karanam, because Karanam has to undergo a change. Karanam is Savikaram and Brahman is Nirvikaram. So how can the Nirvikaram Brahman be the Karanam of the world and the Jiva? So Jagat and Jiva are not produced. Paramatma has not become the Jagat. So Paramatma has not become the Jivatma also. Jivatma are not born at all. So Gaudapada Acharya says that what is Nirvikaram can never become Savikaram and what is Savikaram can never become Nirvikaram. Changeless, Vikaram means change. Changeless will always be changeless. Changing will always be changing. The immortal Paramatma has not become the mortal Jivatma because the essential or intrinsic nature cannot undergo any change. Suppose it is said, for example, that immortal Paramatma has become mortal Jivatma at the time of creation. And mortal Jivatma, does varieties of sadhanas and one day becomes the immortal Paramatma. For example, somebody says that this immortality will only be temporary. So thus immortal cannot become mortal and mortal cannot become immortal. We are already always immortal. Not knowing this, people think that we have come away from Bhagavan at the time of creation. Now we are here and Bhagavan is in heaven. We now have to reach Bhagavan. So even if we reach Bhagavan this way, having fallen once away from Bhagavan, this fall can repeat again. It is only because of ignorance that we mistake ourselves to be mortal Jivatmas. All we have to do is what? To drop this mistaken notion. It is also wrong to think that dropping the erroneous notion will make one immortal. All one has to do is what? Drop the wrong notion and claim that one is the immortal Brahman. The body, the world and the experiences are all only appearances. Just as a child sleeping in the lap of the mother dreams that he has gone away from the mother and screams and all that, but upon waking realizes that he was never away from his mother at all. We never are away from moksha. So with this we'll stop here and continue with the next shloka in the next webinar. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwarah. శ్రీకృష్ణ అర్పణమస్తు నారాయణ.